All right, on this episode of Bouks Talking Bouts, going to shout out the sponsors real quick. Sovereign Extract, putting out some great CBD cartridges, THC, hybrid options, CBD oils, a myriad of products like that. And also a big shout out to USG Canada, putting out some great apparel for boxers, MMA fighters, and fans alike. On today's episode, have a big guest here. Bellator 242 is coming up. It goes on July the 24th, a bantamweight tilt between Rafael Stotts and Cass Bell. And I've got Cass on the show right now. How are you doing there, Cass?
Hey, I'm doing good, Dylan. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, no, great to be able to talk to you. And I mean, just what a big fight here coming up. I mean, you've just really, you know, built a great run in Bellator so far, the 80% finishing rate. And yeah, I also noticed the last fight there was the first one to, you know, go to the judges' scorecards. Do you think that that's an important part in the development, just to have that confidence that you can sustain the effort for the entirety of like a bout while you're out there competing? Like, do you get any like a different kind of confidence from a performance like that?
Yeah, kind of, but I mean, I put in so much work as amateur where I've gone the distance. I fought five rounds. Yes, they're only 3 minutes, but I fought title fights before and stuff, and I've gone all the rounds and stuff, so I'm pretty already confident in that. I would have been more happy if I would have finished in Hawaii, cause that's what I was going for, but every time I clipped him, anytime I got a good clip, he kept running away from me, so... It's obviously gives me confidence that I can go through all three five minute rounds. But, we get all that work done in practice too. So I'm confident, you know, way confident in my abilities already. So, I mean, it does definitely help.
Yeah, no, I mean, definitely should be confident in your abilities, man. But you're talking about the preparations there and stuff like that. Like, how much has the preparations for this one differed between, like, you know, prior camps and stuff like that? Like, what kind of workarounds have you had to do, if any, just considering the pandemic and all?
Yeah, so it's been way different, especially, like, even getting my blood work done and all the other medical stuff I had to do. I live in Humboldt County, so we're you know, small little area, and with all this COVID, you know, in California, it's been, everything's been shut down. So for me to get ready, I had to drive to San Jose last minute and just get everything done, get all my tests done in the day. So that kind of, you know, threw it out, especially, you know, not really training for the past couple months because of, you know, of the shutdown. So, that's definitely a new thing, how to, you know, get all that done. But the biggest thing, too, is this, you know, less training partners. It's only been my teammate Tyson Miller, who's also fought in Bellator. And then my coach, John Thompson, is really who I've only been training with and being around, just so we could stay safe. You know, we trust each other, you know, when we're out, we make sure we're not, you know, getting the COVID and we're just hanging out with our families and stuff. So usually I'm training with multiple people, you know, I'm getting different looks on different things. That's definitely been weird. I've been training with my dummy, also Maddox, I call him, and so I've been, you know, drilling a lot, and just training with my two teammates. So besides that, I mean, it's been weird. It's definitely not like a full fight camp, you know. And for Stotts, I don't think he had a full fight camp either. I believe we both found out around 3 weeks ago that we'd be fighting. So it was just, you know, we've had to jump into it and start working with it.
Yeah, and I was noticing in a prior interview you were doing, you were talking about some of the, you know, regulatory measures with this one, just like, you know, first getting tested for COVID and just, you know, doing like a bit of a Zoom call and, you know, shipping off the, you know, sealed container and stuff like that. At this juncture, like, what does the, I guess, landscape look like going forward? Like, what other, like, additional regulatory measures are kind of at play for this one? I imagine there's going to be some degree of, like, you know, quarantining, staying in the hotel for a bit. Like, how does the remaining part of fight week look here?
Yeah, so Bellator, you know, they've really, you know, stepped up their game with everything. You know, they want all of us to be safe. They want all their employees to be safe, which is awesome. So, like, they're following, you know, they're making sure that we're doing every step, just, you know, stay safe. So we got off, or, you know, so we got tested before we got here, and then we flew all the way from California to Connecticut, and as soon as we got off the plane, they picked us up. It's my team. They actually picked us up in an awesome limo, drove us all the way to the Mohegan Sun Resort, and we got tested right when we got into our room. So we couldn't leave We've been quarantined in a room ever since. We're waiting for the test results again. And once we pass, once we're cleared, then we're able to go down and do a couple things. Now, we don't get to walk around and explore, like, the hotel, the casino, or anything like that. We have our own little private training area. So we pretty much get to go to our private training area to train and then pretty much our room. So that's pretty much all we're doing. So we're just staying with the team that we came with. And then just getting tested. And then, they're super strict on it. We just did a rules meeting today. They want us, wearing our masks at all times, especially when we're out walking, to the room to go cut weight or any of that stuff as soon as we pass. And then, with the food and stuff, we got to, call in room service and all that stuff. So it's definitely, definitely a new experience. But their Bellator is making it awesome for us. They're paying for our meals and everything. And they gave us, nice rooms and stuff. So I'm definitely happy with, what's going on. And I feel safe. I feel like, everybody's doing their part. And, we're going to have a good show.
Yeah, and I mean, the fight you're in is definitely one of the more intriguing bouts on the card for my money. I mean, your opponent being a former, Victory FC Bantamweight champ, a veteran of the LFA circuit, and just pretty hotly discussed all around. Like, both you guys have a lot of momentum heading into this one. Do you check out much tape on your opponent? Like, is that something you kind of allocate to others in your camp? Like, I guess, how familiarized are you with Rafael Stotts and his skill set?
Oh, yeah. We've been breaking down his fight. We study him, my whole team. We'll watch him also. We'll break him down so they start fighting like him, awesome too. Obviously, I was training for him before this fight happened, but then had our fight got postponed. So was already training for him for a while, and then took a couple months off and just got back to it. But I was still doing my homework because I knew I was going to fight him anyway. So the big thing is, breaking down our opponents, seeing what they're doing, seeing what kind of mindset they have, seeing if they've been in wars before, and, who they're fighting and their opponents and all that stuff. And I watch their opponents also, who they fought before, and see what they do. And so we really get down, down into the details and just figure everything out about who I'm fighting.
Yeah, and I'm wondering if the details extend to, how you're going to treat the fact that there's, no fans in attendance. Like, I've talked to certain fighters who've performed at events like this where, fans aren't necessarily allowed, and they've kind of, altered some of their training methodologies to kind of, train with, no music and certain things like that. Have you altered preparations in that regard at all just to account for the lack of fans present?
Yep, exactly. I love music. Music always seems to push the fans. Also give them the extra push, especially when I hear my daughter in the crowd or, my family or, my friends and family in the crowd when I hear them. And so that definitely, gives me that stuff. But we've been working on it. It's only been us in the gym anyway, so everything's super quiet. And I listen to the walkout song, then listen to another song that I'm, just making believe that that's his walkout song. And then, getting ready, turn off the music, and then getting to work. And just keeping it super quiet and just making it, trying to, make it as realistic as we can, So when I'm in there, everything feels, familiar.
Yeah, you mentioned your daughter there, too. She seems like she has the enthusiasm for music that you have. I think I'd seen on social media she was dressed as Billie Eilish for Halloween, which is pretty cool.
Yeah. She loves music. She sings all the time. She's actually named after Taylor Swift. That's one of the reasons why I named her Taylor. And it's cool. She's a wrestler. She's a little bad at, she kicks butt. She's a wrestler. She's in there with the boys. She's in there with the girls. She's actually a national champ, and she's only 9 years old now. And she loves, watching me go in the fight. She's been that, like I said, pretty much all my fights before, even after the fights, what's cool is, she'll be working out, training, we'll be at dinner or after dinner fight party, and she'll be, doing shots across the dinner floor, just doing her thing. It's just so cool about how much she actually loves it, and my son too, but she really loves what I do.
Yeah, and you mentioned the enthusiasm for, like, the younger ones training and stuff like that. Has that been a kind of a difficult one to navigate? Because I know, like, you've trained certain people over the years, and you're very immersed in that community and stuff like that. Like, is it, have you noticed from some of the kids you've trained in past and stuff, like, is this present situation a little frustrating for them as far as, you know, training or lack thereof?
Yes, so definitely, it is one. It's actually hurting a lot of them. Obviously, you know, we don't want nobody to catch, you know, COVID and stuff, but, like, with my son and a couple other kids that train, that I've been training since they're little, 4 years old, even some are three, some of them have asthma and stuff, so that's why they came to train with me and stuff, and my son's one of them, and when they're training, all the time, you know, they rarely have to use their inhaler. You know, my son usually only has to use it like 2 to 3 times out of the year, and that's it. But because of this COVID, he's been using it so much more now. And so once I realized that, and with you know, parents and family members that the kids I coach, I had actually started doing Zoom calls and Zoom workouts for them just to keep them active and keep them going. Just because, you know, it's like, man, I went on a bike ride with my son. After just being in there for a couple weeks quarantine, and we, you know, just all, and he needed his inhaler, so it really, yeah, the house and just chilling, relaxing and stuff like that. We have to actually, you know, have to get them moving and keep it active just for, you know, just for their health, which, you know, sucks too because we got to be careful about the COVID. But luckily, we've all been super careful about it. It's all been working out, and. Yeah, I've been keeping most of my kids in shape, you know, through Zoom and, you know, however else I can. You know, I tell them go on bike rides, tell them go run, and all this stuff. So, but it's definitely, you know, I can't wait for all this thing, you know, go back to normal and, you know, start teaching all my kids again. I definitely miss them all. And, you know, you know, unfortunately, the wrestling season got shut off early this year. Luckily, our team won the tournament, so that was cool, but that was, you know, our first tournament of the season, so, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, health is paramount, man, for sure, so definitely got to go in that direction. But I thought to ask this, too, just because I'd seen a prior interview where you talked about this being the biggest fight of your career and just the nature of Bellator's 135 division with the belt being vacant. And, I mean, this matchup here could very well position the winner in a favorable way in that kind of context. Like, do you let your brain think about things like that, or just with the rampant uncertainty of everything, do you kind of just focus on, like, one fight at a time, even, like, one day at a time?
I mean, I go with the flow, but I definitely think of the future, you know. I definitely think about, you know, if I can do with, you know, go to me. It gives me more of a push to think about the future. Obviously, I don't look past my opponents at all. You know, I study them, I break them down and everything, and, you know, make sure I'm at the level that I need to be to beat them. But I'm definitely, you know, watching the top fighters, you know, in Bellator and stuff, the 135ers and stuff, and I'm training for them, you know, so. When I'm not training, you know, when it's not fight camp, I'm training, you know, for the top fighters that I'm, you know, watching, and I know I'm probably going to have to go up against. I do a little both, you know. Obviously, you know, like I said, I don't take anything away from my opponents. I watch them closely, and then I'm also, you know, training for, you know, work on my skills and, you know, for the top, you know, top bantamweight division guys.
Yeah, and getting some great training all around. Like, in past, I'd seen you were training with Dave LeDuc, King of Lethway there. So that's cool. You're getting different looks like that as well.
Yeah, no, that was super cool. That was super cool that he came down and we were able to train with him. It's awesome. And eventually, too, you know, we'll start traveling, you know, once we can, start traveling, going to, you know, different camps and, you know, just checking out, you know, other places and just, getting different looks on, you know, different people and see how they train and stuff. Just, you know, open up more of, you know, my weaponry.
Yeah, absolutely. And just, you know, getting close to wrapping up here, but I just wanted to ask you about this before we were, you know, getting to that point. I noticed there was a SoundCloud track out there with a big shout out to you. It's by an artist called Thick Man, and the track's called Cass Bell. I'm curious if you've gotten the chance to hear that yet.
No, I haven't actually. What was it called?
It's Thick Man. It's THIC Man. And the song's just called Cass Bell. It's a SoundCloud track.
Okay, I gotta find that. Yeah, no, I have not heard that yet, but that'd be awesome. I do have a song that was made for me right when I joined Bellator. It's called The Bell, and it's from actually Aaron Kaplan. His music name's Highway.
Oh yeah.
And that's actually the song I walk out with nonstop. So I walk. I mean, every song. Well, actually, that's a lie because the first two times they didn't play my walkout song. They played something else, but they're supposed to. But yeah. Something got messed up and they didn't play it. And finally, the past like two or three fights, they were able to actually, you know, play the song. Has Bellator in it, has my name in it, has a little bit of my coaching in it, and it has, you know, a little bit of a story on, you know, of my fight life. And so far, Aaron's been right about all my fights, you know, how I finished them, flying knees, elbows, and choke, and, you know, guillotines and all that stuff. So it's been awesome. But I definitely need to hear this song that you just mentioned.
Yeah, maybe something we can talk about in the next interview. But you've been really good with your time, and I imagine there's a few other people that want to be doing interviews with you. So to be mindful of that, is there anything you want to add as a parting thought as we're wrapping up here, Cass?
I just want to, you know, give a big shout-out to Bellator for, you know, putting on this event and letting me fight, you know, on the first card. Like, I feel honored. And, I always go in there trying to finish my guy, never try to leave in the hands of the judges. I always try to make the fights exciting. Even my last Hawaii fight, it was a one of the fans' birthdays, and they asked me if I could throw some head kicks and try to get the head kick KO. So what I did in Hawaii, I threw head kicks like no other, just to give it that extra fire and stuff. Unfortunately, I didn't get that kick. I tried. So hopefully everybody can tune in also, you know, July 24th at 5:45 is when the event starts Pacific Standard Time, and then 8:45 Eastern Time for us. And, you know, the fights are going to be great. And, yeah, hopefully I'll be fighting for the title here by next year.
Yeah, absolutely. A killer card this Friday, and Bellator 242 featuring Rafael Stotts and Cass Bell. Just looks like a total barn burner on paper. Thanks for all the time and insights there, Cass. Definitely appreciate that. And yeah, best of luck with the remaining part of the preparations, and have a good rest of your day too.
Hey, thank you, man. Thank you so much. And then also, before you get off, can I get that name of that song again?
Yeah, it's called Cass Bell, and the artist is Thick Man, THIC Man, and it's on SoundCloud.
Okay, perfect. Sweet. Awesome, Dylan. Well, thank you.
Yeah, no problem. You have a good one, man. Cheers.
Yeah, me too.